So we're talking about a faith journey. This is week three of this little mini series about how when we've encountered Jesus, how we've connected with other believers. And notice this morning there's a lot of connecting. I'm almost wondering if I shouldn't give you another 5 minutes to connect some more, but you're going to connect in small groups and at the end. Because you enjoy catching up with each other when you get here? Don't you? It's like awesome. And it's important. It's not like school where like, sit down, shut up, I'm going to speak now. But we come and we journey with other people. It's like we're in a car together. There's nothing worse than driving to Bloemfontein and you don't speak the whole way. Well, first, there's nothing worse than driving to Bloemfontein. Why would you want to do that? But secondly, it's in the car and you're not allowed to talk. That's not fun. You know what I mean? Car's for talking. That's why you open the window a little bit to let the words out so you can breathe new words into the environment. And so connecting is really important, but growing is also important. You know, you don't want to be like 35, you still look like a 12-year-old, you're still living in your mommy's home. Mom, can I have some cereal, please? And you're 35. By 35, you want to be able to make a decision whether or not you're eating cereal at 10 o'clock at night. And you should be allowed to do that. Why? Because you bought the darn stuff. You don't have to wait for some old-timer to tell you, yes, you can have the cereal, or no, you can't. It's your right. You want to mess up your system? You can do that. It's your business. You know what I mean? Because you're growing. Growing to maturity. Growing up in Christ. We don't want to be babes in Christ. Oh, we want to be babes. We want to be good looking like me. I'm a babe. You know what I mean? In another culture somewhere. Because each culture has a different view of what's really pretty. And there is a culture out there that thinks I'm pretty. Even with the fact that someone hit me with a baseball on my head. You should always look where you're walking in life. This is free. This is not part of the message. But when you're walking, you must always keep your head up. Try this. Lift your chin up a little bit. Because if you're walking like this, and there's a pole about this high, you know what's going to happen. You're going to meet the said pole, and you and the pole, one of you is going to come off worse. Let's just say there was more blood on my forehead than on the pole. Well, my blood was on the pole. Welcome, guys. Nice to have you with us this morning. And did you enjoy the interlude? Okay. So that's for free. Okay. Always keep your head up. Try that again. Put your chin up. Then the problem now is if you shut your eyes when you're walking now, the pole's going to break your teeth. So if you do have your head up and you're going to shut your eyes, then rather keep your head down. So everyone put your head down. Rather walk like that. But if you're going to look up, keep your eyes open and you should be okay. That's free. Don't say you don't get value at Ignite Youth on a Sunday morning. You learn life lessons that are really important. The other lesson I learned, that if you're going to park your car and go and have breakfast, you must put the lights off. Otherwise, afterwards, when you come back to your car, you're going to push the car up the hill. You push it up the hill once, and you roll it down and it doesn't start. So you push the car up the hill the second time and you roll it down and it doesn't start. Now you know what? What have you learned? Pushing the car up the hill the third time is going to do what? Deadly squat. So you don't push the car up the hill the third time. You walk up the hill. You find a retarded man driving on a tractor. You wave the man down and he says, huh? You say to him, my car's broken. He says, huh? You say, down on the hill, my car's broken. He says, huh. I say, get your tractor down the hill now. He says, okay. Comes down the hill. He doesn't have anything to tow me with. So I'm thinking, I'm going to hold on to the car with the one hand, hold on to the tractor with the other hand, and he's going to pull me. That's not wise. You don't do much. I had to have plastic surgery this week and get myself stitched back together. I was ripped down the middle. It was ugly. More blood from that than from that. So when he then disappeared, promising me to come back, in that time, I walked in and had the argument with the pole. So it wasn't a great start to the day, but the day ended bad. How many of you know that a day doesn't always start well, but it can end well? Yeah. So if you have a little have a run-in with a tractor in the morning and some bad luck and a pole, don't worry, the day's going to get better. So that's all about growth. And then we move on to reach, because you see, at some point, I want to pass on my faith. I don't want to be selfish and keep it to myself. If I got blood on my forehead, I want you to have some blood too. I'm not going to keep it all to myself. I'm going to smear it all over you so that together we can be blood brothers. Pass on the faith. So we've seen that reach is a three-step strategy that's about identifying someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. Everyone needs a chance to come to know Jesus, so identify. You got that. Secondly, I can't remember the second point. What was it? invest in their lives, because people don't care about you yet. You know, if someone phones you and says, hi, you've won the lottery, all you have to do is put 5,000 rand in my bank account and I'll give you a million. What do you say to them? Do you think I'm stupid? Who are you? Are you crazy? I ain't giving you diddly squat. You can transfer the money into my bank account now and that'll be cool, but I ain't giving you anything first. Because chances are it's Vincent calling and trying his trick to get 10,000 rand out of you. Because he does that. That's why he wasn't here on Friday night. He was doing that. So what I want to do is I want to build some credibility with you. I want to build some relationship. So when I ask you for 5,000, you say, sure, Mark, here's 6. Because I have this relationship. It's like I've developed. We've started walking a journey. So the first step is not, you know what? If you die tonight, you're going to burn in hell. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. The person needs to be ready to hear that. It's like, hey, dog, it's me, your friend. You're going to die tonight, man. You're going to burn big time in hell. Oak says, hey, Mark, thanks for sharing that with me, because we're tight. So you've got to invest. You've got to invest in someone's life. If you don't invest, your words will bounce off them like a squash ball off the wall. And you don't want to be bouncing around like a squash ball. It doesn't generate anything except heat. That's pathetic. And so invest in their lives. How long do you invest for? Until the bank balance is nice and big. If you want to earn 1,000 rand, okay, and you start the first month, you put 100 rand in the bank. Next week, you don't go and say to the bank manager, I want my 1,000 rand. He's going to laugh at you. Or he might hit you with a pole like I got hit. He's going to say, no, dude, 10 months. Then you'll have 1,000 rand. So when that bank balance gets up there, when that relationship is solid, then you might get somewhere. And today we're going to learn about investing. So we learned to identify 1, 2, 3, 17 lost friends. One is a good start. How many of you by now feel that there's someone in your life that you want to lead to Jesus and you're building a relationship with them? What, the rest of you got no friends? You are pitiful, poor, pathetic. Those are all P's. You are a 3P person. All of you have friends. It's not rocket science, okay? And we learned that you can do it by eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which is not the best. So, secondly, we saw that we're going to invest. Invest is all about building this relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus. And what we said is we're going to take something, some action. It might cost you. You're going to do something. It's your time. It's your energy, your resource. You're going to do something so they really feel that a relationship is developing. And it's a real relationship. You know, if they, after 1 week, give you a hard time, you don't say, oh, well, done you. I'm moving on to someone else. You're off my list. No, they need to stay on the list. You need to keep doing it. One day, that moment will come where they'll say, hey, I want what you got. And it's not a fizz pop. It's Jesus. An action to invest in them. So today is all about invite. I'm going to suggest that this is not the hardest part, but it is a step that we have to take. So what we want to do is we want to invite people to take the next step, not in your faith journey, but in theirs. Because everyone needs to be on this journey. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you live, where you're from, whether you're handsome like me or ugly like James. You all need to be on this journey. Doesn't matter if you're from Greenside or Parktown. Doesn't matter if you're at the best of those schools, Greenside, or the worst, Parktown. Ponzi, Parktown boys, Ponzi. Viva, Greenside, Viva. Friday night, I had a bad moment. It was the other way around. I'm sorry about Friday night. I did a lot of dissing of Greenside. But I've realized this weekend that I was wrong and I've repented on my ways, and Greenside is the best school ever. Invest in people and invite them to take the next step. Now, we learned this from Jesus. We learned the first week there was some Bible character and another Bible character. I think it was Zach and Matt. You remember that? So this week it's going to be about Sar. And this is the verse. Now, this is learning from Jesus. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Galilee is that area all around a little lake called Galilee where there's some awesome fish, and Jesus enjoyed to walk on water as a pastime, something he did on a Saturday afternoon. And Jesus says, hey, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Wow, Jesus is preaching. He's like, guys, the kingdom is here. You can have it. It's good news. It's a little different from the turn or burn. You're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You're going to hell. And those things are probably true. But Jesus is sharing it in a way that makes people say, wow, I want good news. You know, if you're living in Japan now, you need good news. You know, there's a tsunami all around. There's earthquakes. Did you see that nuclear reactor implode last night? That's not good news if you're living in Japan. You want to know what the fallout of the nuclear stuff is going to be like. You need good news. You need that government to come on the radio and say, guys, it's okay. Homer Simpson is controlling the nuclear power station. That's not good news, right? It's like, doh, I was eating my donuts and the thing blew up. That's not good news. You want them to say, don't worry, the scientists have looked at that and we're going to flood it with seawater. Seawater, okay. Nuclear reactor, seawater. Okay, well, that's what they're going to do this week, so let's hope it works well. You want someone to say, guys, it's safe. It's safe. We've got this stuff under control. It's safe. Jesus comes and says, here's good news. Times are tight and tough, but I got good news. The kingdom of God is near. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. Duh, they're fishermen. That's what they do. Jesus says to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers. We're already fishers. Ah, no, you're going to be fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Here's a couple things we learn in that. Jesus moves to the next step. These guys have heard about Jesus. Jesus has been doing a couple miracles. Jesus has grown up in Galilee. Galilee's not a big place. You know everyone in Galilee. You can walk around that lake. Yeah, sure, it's going to take you a whole day, but you can walk around the lake. And you know everyone. So Jesus has got some credibility here. Stories about who he is as the son of the carpenter in Nazareth has spread around. And people are looking at his life. And Jesus says, now it's time to call people to the next step. You need to come and follow me. He invites people to respond. He says, you've watched me for a while. Yeah, I'm in the class next to you, or I'm sitting in a desk next to you at school, but I'm going to now call you into a relationship with Jesus. So he invites. But you know what? He expects them to respond. He doesn't say like, oh, come follow me, whatever, your choice, use it or lose it, come or don't. No, he's like, yo, you, Vincent, come here, come now, yeah, come now. I expect you to come now. Yeah, I'll come fetch you. Don't make me come there. Okay, you get the idea. Jesus is expecting him to get out of his seat. It's like Lolu this morning. He jumps on the stage. He says, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you standing? It's time to get mobile. And what happened? Suddenly everyone's dancing like dark people. Did you see some of these kids down front? Where's the blondest boy in the group? Dude, you and your brother, you were jiving. Don't say white man can't dance, because when Lolu tells you, step up and expect, what does everyone do? Man, we're all jiving. Okay, we look lame, some of us, but that's because we were born in Britain, maybe. But man, there's joy, there's enthusiasm, all because what? One guy got up and said, come on now, it's time to do something. It changed the whole atmosphere. Did you expect people to respond to you and to move? Yeah, say yes. You did. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. So when you go up to your friend and say, come follow Jesus, you're expecting them to do that. You expect them. And you know what? You get what you expect. Store that away. That's also free. You get what you expect. Your expectation determines what comes to you. If you expect to be a millionaire one day, guess what? You probably will be, because you begin to take actions in line with your expectations. But if you expect nothing, guess what? You get very little. So sit on your sofa doing nothing, and guess what? You'll get sores on your bum. That's all. But expect something to happen in your life. I'm telling you what, it's going to happen. Expect people to respond. And you know what? The Spirit will come and breathe in them like he breathed in us this morning, and he makes us all into dancers. Even me. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So here's some of the things you can do practical now with this inviting thing. You can go, not now, because there's none, but you can get a term program at the beginning of next term. You can have a look. that's a cool event. I think I'm going to invite my friend to that. And you take a week or two, you tell them, hey, we've got something really happening Friday night, 2 weeks' time. It's going to be like food. It's going to be like awesomeness. You've got to come. There's going to be maybe an event where you can come and serve even and do something really awesome and let your life count next term. Wow, I think that might be the event. Or that's the night to invite someone to. Okay, so you don't invite them to a lame program. Let me tell you, you need to step up your game. We want only good programs next term. So get a term program. Secondly, invite them to the event. Now, this is really hard. I think if you're from Parktown, you're going to struggle with this. Because what you have to do is you've got to look at the person and you're going to say, Imta, we got a really cool event happening. Would you like to come? Now, obviously, if you're from Greenside High, that's easy. You remember that. You just do that. But this is what you do if you're from Parktown. You look, you open your mouth, and you say, would you like to come? I know it's hard, guys, Parktonians. I know it's hard. But you can do it. I know you can. James, I believe you can do it. You know who did this on Friday night? Rebecca invited Nicole. Was it the first time? Where's Rebecca? I've lost her. Was it the first time she came? Did you just like say, hey, I go to a youth group. Would you like to come? You know, you deserve a round of applause, a massive round of applause. And to many of you that have been inviting friends, because CK, Imta, myself, and Akin, we don't invite many of our friends to youth group. Why? Because they shave. Okay, not CK's friends. Some of them might. But they're too old for youth. You are the secret to this youth group. Yeah, you were dancing so well this morning. It was an awesome thing watching you guys invite your friends. Because that's what is the secret. That's why it's costing us more for juice these days than it did last year. So that's why you need to tithe more, Vincent. Okay, so I want you to up. We want 12% per month from now on. So you invite them to an event. Not difficult unless you're from Parktown. But James, I think you can do it. Lolu, a couple of weeks we'll work with you. Now there's another thing that you can do, and this is the last thing I want to lead with here and leave you with, is that you can actually, if you're from Greenside, you can share the gospel with them. You can actually tell them about Jesus. So either the invite is to come here where they can hear the gospel, or you can actually invite them to follow Jesus. Now, what's that all about? Well, it's as simple as this, and I'll show you where to find this. I uploaded this yesterday afternoon to the Facebook group, the Ignite group. This is what you could do. You could say, hey, dude, I want to share something with you. You know, it feels sometimes like life's all messed up and all my relationships are not working out. Maybe mum and dad are fighting and I like that girl, but she's not liking me. She likes my best friend. You know how it goes. You normally swallow razor blades at this point. And it's just like, but yet you feel that there's a relationship you need. Well, there is. There's a relationship that you were created to have, and it's with the personal creator God. Now, sometimes, depending on the person, we had one girl here a few weeks ago. Who brought that girl who said there is no God? This is the place she needs to be. It's cool. It was at I don't know what night it was, but she was like, nice evening, nice event, but I don't believe there's a God. If that happens, you need to say, well, of course there's a God. How else do you account for everything? And you can ask Imta how to explain and prove to someone that there is a God. He's done it at Greenside. Greenside people actually know that there's a God. Parktown boys and girls, I'm not so sure. And so there's a relationship with this personal God that you were created to have. God created you for relationship with him. And there's some verses that you can see that go with us. But you know what? There's a relationship that you don't have because you've decided to do your own thing and turn away and try and paddle your own canoe. Push your own car up the hill. You can't go pushing the car up the hill. You won't get high enough to get a decent run start. What you need to do is you need to have someone bail you out of the situation, because this thing called sin, which is doing it my own way, which is, come on, be honest, you've done something wrong in the last month. Maybe something small. Come on, even the Parktonians, they've done something wrong. Maybe you headbutted someone like I did. I don't know. You've done something. You've got like, so angry you want to rip your parents' head off. In a loving way, so they still give you pocket money. You've done that, right? It's sin. It's anything that displeases God, anything that violates another human being. We've all done it. It's a sin to steal a pin If it doesn't belong to you, you shouldn't own it. There's a relationship you don't have. It's kind of like this chasm, right? This big gap between us and God that's come about. But you know, there's a God relationship that you can have because of what Jesus did. Jesus came and he dealt with that sin story. He came and gave his life. He became the bridge, if you like, that you can cross over from where you are on the one bank to the other bank where God is waiting for you. Because he dealt with sin once and for all. He died. He lived a perfect life. He died and sin was removed. And all you have to do is you need to look to him and trust him that he has done all that is needed to get you across the bridge. But you know what? This relationship, you can only have it if you choose it. You can still say, hey, cool message, but I'm not really into that whole God thing and church thing. I'm just going to stay here on my side. I'm just going to think, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Who is God really going to treat me well? I'm just going to stay on my side. You actually have to walk across that bridge. And this relationship with God can be yours for life if you just take that first step toward God. And I can pray for you. I can pray that God would come and by the power of his Spirit turn you into his child. Would you like this? Would you like to stay where you are, separated from God, alienated, isolated, waiting for a relationship that you can have? Or would you like to make that move towards God? And that's all you need to do to share the gospel. I think even if you're from Parktown, you could share that. I do. Am I right? I mean, you'd have to have it written inside your tar because you won't remember those steps. But here's what I've done. Is at the Facebook group, some of you are on the Ignite Youth Facebook group, some of you are not. And you've missed all the prizes that have been there. James, you won the 1,000 this week, Lolu the week before. You guys aren't in on this. Okay, so you want to join this group because if there's a 1,000 rand up for grabs, you want to be one of the lucky Ignite Facebook users. If. Okay, so if you go to that, you will see that yesterday afternoon I put that note up. The note is entitled, A God Relationship That Can Be Yours for Life. And if you click on that, watch this, if I click on it, it's like, no way. It will take you to the note and it's got the whole spiel. And all you need to do is maybe print it out, read it through, understand it. It's quite simple, actually. You know, I was from Grosvenor Boys on the Bluff. We were not rocket scientists. Most of us smoked way too much grass. And that's not because they were cutting the grass on the fields and spend way too much time out waiting for waves at Brighton Beach. And so for us, it wasn't possible, you know, to like learn a whole thing. But all you need to do is print it, stick it in your pocket, share it. You might even turn it into something that you pass on. And you just walk them through, you know what, there's a relationship you can have. You don't have it because of sin. This is a God relationship you can have because what Jesus did, but you have to choose, and it can be yours for life. Are you up for this? If you're not on that group, you need to get on the group. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. So find it, Ignite Youth, and it's yours for free. Mahala, ching ching, nothing free. Awesome. You don't need a gold card to have that. Okay? Identify. That's the second one again. Invest, and then there's a third one. Invite. What's common about those words? Did you notice that? They all got R's in them, which apparently doesn't help for memory. Identify, invest, invite. It's not hard. If you're from Parktown, say it with me. Identify, invest, invite. Well done, Parktonians. Very good. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice sharing that story with someone. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through it step by step and give you a few minutes. Okay? So, pair up with someone, get ready, and one of you is going to be the first person to start, and you'll share the whole thing, then you'll switch persons. Okay? We might even do some small group after that, but let's do this one-on-one. So, find someone next to you, and here's the story that you're going to share them. Are you ready? Everyone got someone? Okay. Now, we've got a question or two to throw at you before we wrap up. Here it goes. Number one, what is the most challenging thing about sharing the gospel for you? Anyone want to think that through? What is the toughest thing about sharing the gospel? Convincing them. Okay, so getting them to believe what you're saying. Is that it? You got it for you. Okay? And that's why a relationship is important. That's why sharing, you know, scriptures with them, being ready for the fact that people may not agree, and then coming at it at another time using some examples. Vincent? The fact that people will? That they don't want to listen. Okay? They don't care. Sometimes people need to be in the place where they're ready to listen. They need to hit their head against a pole and drag their car up a hill. Then they're ready for anything, you know? So, you know, look for those opportunities where someone's open. Remember, Jesus watched for when Zacchaeus was looking at him. So fruit that's green, you shouldn't really pluck it, except if it's an avocado pear. It's the only thing you pluck when it's green. Everything else, oh, look, it's red. Anna? Apples. Golden delicious. Yeah, they're green, but they're not, they're ripe green, okay? You want to look at, no, stop now. You're ruining my illustration, okay? Fruit must be plucked when it's ripe. You guys are too bright. You notice who all was talking there? It's all the Parktown people. You know that? I actually think that Parktown is the brightest school, maybe. But I'll see. I'm just still working it through my mind. Okay? What do you think is the biggest thing? Yes. What is the biggest thing that keeps you from reaching out? Rip Curl says it's yourself. Fear? Fear of what? Rejection. Because we all know that as teenagers, all of you, rejection's not cool, right? Because I want to be like accepted. That's why I tell all those lies about how my dad is like an astronaut and he's away on a space mission at the moment, right now. And then someone looks in the news and Google's like, there's no missions now. Then you say, no, he's that chimpanzee on that like Hubble Space Telescope. Oh, you have to make up these sort of stories, you know, because you don't want to be rejected. Jesus says, if they rejected me, they're probably going to reject you. Bad news. So line up for a lot of rejection, because that's what it means to follow Jesus. Inadequacy, maybe you don't feel adequate, maybe too short, like Zacchaeus. No, I don't think you mean the hard thing, but I don't know if I can do it right. Well, visit the Face Group site, get the notes, and you'll be able to. You are adequate. Why? Because the greater is he in you than he in the world. Nah. God is in you, and he's more than capable. These are real feelings, and they keep us back. Any other reason why we don't? Maybe I'll get it wrong. Maybe I'll get the wrong thing first, and maybe I'll lead them into hell. No, you're probably going to do it right. I mean, I can't guarantee if you're from Parktown Boys. But if you're from most other schools, yes, sister. Being an outcast. Cool. Then reach out to the other outcasts. I thought that was quite clever. Ife's going to hate me, but I thought that was good comeback. Good comeback. Yes. Doubts? Maybe I'm not sure of it myself. Maybe I'm looking worried that there's a verse at the last page of the Bible, only joking. And there isn't one. I looked. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. They might discover something. It's not. It's a story. It's a true story. Real. What else will keep us? Maybe I'm just too preoccupied with my own stuff and my own business. And, you know, I'm not too worried about everyone else. I'm just at school to get straight A's. You know what I mean? I don't care where the rest of you spend eternity. I'm going to get A's. Well, while you're getting A's, maybe you should get an A minus or a B plus every now and then. Maybe you can also reach out. How about that? Who's been challenged in this series? Anyone been challenged? Somewhat. Like, you know what, I think I should do this. Maybe that's why we've been left on earth. That's our mission, to make disciples. More of this in the third term. This is like a preview of what's coming in the third term as we learn how to paint the town red. We're going to paint the whole of Joburg red. It's going to be cool. Okay, it's been a good morning. If you are from Parktown, either of the schools, I'm sorry if I insulted you. I don't choose who gets admitted to the school. I'm just going by who's in that school. Okay, so if I was the principal, I would be more careful about who I accept in my school. And then I wouldn't have to rip on you. So have an awesome week now that I've trashed most of you. If you're from Northcliffe, let's have a word of prayer for anyone who's from Northcliffe. Let's pray together. Here we go. Lord, help us overcome those things that hold us back from sharing the good news with people. the news that Jesus is alive and that he's come to enter into a relationship with us and restore us to Father. God, I pray that you would give us credibility among our friends. You would give us good standing, that people would look to us and know that in our hearts and our minds there's truth and love and something significant. And I pray that the good message that you've shared throughout the ages would be made fresh by us as we live it out among people. May we preach the gospel by how we live long before we even open our mouths. So Lord, help us, Lord, whether we're with the cool people, with the outcasts, with the popular crowd, help us wherever we go to take the flavor and the fragrance of Jesus Christ out to other people. So we honor you. We pray that this week you would help us not walk into poles and have to drag our cars away, and it would be a much better week at all of our schools. In the awesome name of Jesus, amen.